If you love this podcast and IPR, you probably know that it's fueled by listener dollars. Hi, I'm Rick Brewer, a talk show producer at Iowa Public Radio. And part of my job is connecting with Iowans who have stories to tell. When you contribute to IPR, you help make that possible. Membership contributions make up 57% of IPR's budget. That's huge and amazing. So do your part to support the podcast and programs you enjoy. Go to iowapublicradio.org and tap the red donate button. Thank you.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. What's the future of the Republican Party? Well, that's been a big question, especially since the January 6th insurrection, the second impeachment trial of Donald Trump, and in the first month now of the Biden presidency. A mixed bag for the GOP in the last election. Republicans lost the White House and the U.S. Senate, but they won seats back from the Democrats in the U.S. House, and Republicans did well in legislatures across the country, including here in Iowa, where Republicans retain unified control of government with majorities in both the Iowa House and Senate. Of course, Kim Reynolds in the governorship. Joining us to talk about where the GOP is now and where it's headed, Jeff Kaufman, the chair of the Republican Party of Iowa. Welcome back to our program, Jeff.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
Want to invite our listeners. We don't have much time with Jeff, but if you'd like to ask a question, 1-866-780-9100. Wrestling with some technical difficulties, but we hope those are in the past. Your question for Jeff Kaufman, 1-866-780-9100. Email us river2river@iowapublicradio.org. Jeff, as you well know, before the elections, there were credible predictions that Republicans would lose from the White House on down in Congress, also at the state level. Donald Trump won in Iowa. The GOP picked up two House seats here in Iowa in Congress and did well in the state legislature. What would you say were the keys to success in the last election cycle, especially here in Iowa? What made the difference?
Well, I mean, we certainly held our strength in the rural areas. And I, quite frankly, believe that our message resonated more clearly in rural Iowa and even some areas of rural Iowa that in the past, rural and small town Iowa, that in the past may not have resonated as much along the Mississippi and those river towns, along the Missouri. We picked up several gains there. And in the legislature, we were also able to take back two suburban seats, and we came close in a couple of other legislative areas. So I think that's part of it. Also, we campaigned. The Democrats did not campaign. They did not go door to door. And be honest with you, no matter who was deciding what safe campaigning was, by any definition, you could campaign safely. You could knock on that door. You could leave a package, stand back. In many cases, the GOP candidates were standing back 6 to 10 feet with a mask. And we took it to the people. I really believe that helped us, and I think it hurt the Democrats in the long run. But I think your analysis is correct. Here in Iowa, we're at a peak of strength at this point. At the same time, I mean, it was disappointing at the national level for us. But in Iowa, we're strong at this point.
Of course, all the talk in the last few weeks has been about the split in the GOP, infighting, various words used to describe it. How would you describe it, Jeff Kaufman, what's happening in the GOP? An obvious division there.
Well, there are some divisions, but you see that. I mean, we saw that in the Democrats between the Bernie faction and the Hillary faction. I mean, it's very common after a presidential election, and the party that loses that election, for there to be a soul searching of what went right, what went wrong. I don't see any divisions, especially in Iowa. I don't see any divisions here that will be permanent in any sense. Obviously, I mean, the question is, you know, what is Donald Trump's role? Is he going to run again? And you know how I handle that, and I need to be very, very I need to be very careful in a First Nation state to make sure that we're opening our doors to all candidates that want to make their case to Iowans. Donald Trump is certainly welcome to make his case here, as a variety of other candidates. And so I don't see the fight in Iowa being anything more than finding our way and seeing exactly what Donald Trump's position is going to be. But that's not a party decision. A good political party listens to what the people are saying, and then reacts to that, waits for the primaries to happen, waits for the caucuses to happen, and then react to that. So I would say I'm in a waiting mode at this point. And I can tell you one thing, if a person wants to come to Iowa and make their case, they are more than welcome to come here. And I have a feeling that my Democratic colleague would probably tell you about the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Voter registration, though, across the country shows that in the days after the January 6th attack on the Capitol, tens of thousands of Republicans who are calling in, logging on to switch their party affiliations. Are you feeling that at a state level? Republicans saying also because of Donald Trump's role in the insurrection, I just can't be a part of this party so dominated by Donald Trump.
Not yet. I mean, every month, the Secretary of State issues a report, and we have been steadily growing and expanding our lead in registration vis-a-vis the Democrats. And the last report we received, we were up 28,000 registrations, and that was growing. So we'll see when this new report comes out. I don't think you're going to see that trend among Iowa Republicans. You may have some falling out, but I don't think you're going to see anything even close to what you might find in a state that is, where the Republican Party is not at a peak, but rather in a valley, a state, like a California or Vermont or a state like that, where the Republican Party is probably never has a chance of even coming close in registration.
Jeff Kaufman, our guest, if you've just joined us this half hour, chair of the Iowa GOP, asking where the party is now, where it's headed. Let's entertain a few calls from our listeners. Adam is with us in Davenport. Not much time here with Jeff Kaufman, so I'll ask you to get right to the point. Adam, thank you for being on our show.
Yeah, Jeff knows that there was no voter fraud in Iowa, yet the GOP is trying to advance this bill that is going to cut registration times and early voting. How is this supposed to help Iowans, Republicans, Democrats, independents overall?
Adam, thank you from Davenport.
That's an excellent question, Adam. And you've forgotten a few things that's in this bill. And I see a lot of people concentrating on something where they can get some partisan traction. But the genesis of this bill is to deal with three auditors that willingly and knowingly broke the law in Woodbury, Johnson, and Linn County by pre-populating absentee ballots and giving away personal information of people. That was also upheld by three courts, hardly partisan courts at that. And so that is one of the issues, and that will help Iowans a great deal, both in uniformity in terms of equal distribution and equal application of our voter laws, and also dealing with what happened with those three very partisan auditors in those three urban areas. The absentee period has been shortened. I don't think they have settled on a day or a specific amount yet. I think the original bill said 18. I was hearing, and I'm not in the legislature, so I'm not privy to some of the details in the last minute amendments, but I know that they are working on a final a number of days in that particular case. I know they're also working on some unique cases where you have veterans or where maybe you have some victims of domestic abuse where those time limitations may not work. So some of these issues are still being worked on. I know people want to turn this and make it like it's somehow tied into some of the Trump theories. That's not what this was all about at all. And in fact, they passed some really good legislation that we heard the same kind of claims that it's bad for us. And it ended up actually the last time we shortened this period, actually Democrats and Republicans ended up gaining in the amount of people that actually participated in the voting. So, I would say come and criticize this bill, but make sure you include everything, including those three rogue auditors, which was really the genesis of this bill to begin with.
Okay, let's go to another caller. Lucas is with us from Des Moines. Lucas, welcome to the program. You're on with Jeff Kaufman, chair of the Iowa GOP. Go ahead.
Thank you for having me. I'll try to keep it quick. My question is, with the new education policy that's coming through the State House with vouchers and et cetera, I guess my question is, how is that kind of legislation helpful to our rural schools that the GOP is obviously invested in? How does it help them when they're already struggling with a funding issue? And to hit on the last caller's question, if those auditors had broken the law, then why didn't we prosecute them under that law instead of introducing new legislation to get to it? Thank you for your time.
Lucas in Des Moines, thank you. Jeff Kaufman.
Well, I'll concentrate on the education issue since I already covered the other. But three judges and their decisions cited on the side of those three auditors. Clearly, there needs to be a conversation about that. People are always saying, you know, where's the proof? Where are the concerns? We have three concerns right there, and they're very, very obvious. That's the reason why we need a new law introduced there. In terms of education, as a former school board president of a small rural school and a 31-year veteran of education, certainly I do more than just talk about education. It's a part of who I am and my life. I assume when he talks about vouchers, I assume he's talking about the scholarship program introduced by the governor to detail and to try to look at the 34 failing schools in Iowa. Look, there's a whole lot of things that can be done about these failing schools. One thing could be to do the same thing again and again and again and again, and that's not working. I actually, there's still a lot of debate yet that's coming through on this bill. It is not a fait accompli. I know the governor's office is actively advocating, but I also know the legislature is dealing with this. They're listening. So it's not an end product yet, but I applaud this governor for doing something outside the box and not just the same thing again and again. This is 34. These are scholarships that would be issued to 34 failing schools with a price tag of probably somewhere in the range of $2 to $3 million out of hundreds of millions that are actually being offered for education in this state. So it's a debate we can have. I certainly respect that debate back and forth, but let's use the correct term so we don't spin this into something that it's not.
Jimmy is with us in Ames. Welcome to the program, Jimmy. You're on with Jeff Kaufman.
Hey, thank you. Just a question about Chuck Grassley, who hasn't decided if he's going to run. In 2018, he told voters that they should vote for Kim Reynolds because he could potentially die over the next 4 years, and she would be there to appoint his replacement. So 4 years later, shouldn't he just decide not to run if that's any consideration whatsoever?
And I'll just throw in there that an Iowa State Senator, James Carlin of Sioux City, announced he'll be running for U.S. Senate, vying for that seat held currently by Senator Grassley. Comment on this challenge and on Jimmy's question there, please, Jeff.
Sure. I mean, you know, in Iowa, we have primaries. And I don't necessarily think that primaries are a bad thing. I never have. And we're going to have primaries. We're going to have senatorial primaries. Kim Reynolds had a primary. There's a ton of legislative primaries. So I think primaries strengthen the party, to be honest with you. I believe Joni Ernst, for example, was a stronger senatorial candidate after she emerged from from that field of five. In terms of Chuck Grassley, to suggest that Chuck Grassley may die, therefore he shouldn't run, my goodness, I'm 58 years old. And possibly something could happen to me. That seems to me a little bit of a tacky reason to say Chuck Grassley should not run. If that's the best you got, I'm thinking he's in a pretty strong position.
Jeff Kaufman, I wanted to play a little bit, have you respond to a voice from, I don't know, we'll call it the traditional wing, the establishment wing of your party, the GOP. Also a segment of your party that is not a fan at all of Donald Trump. Last week, Des Moines attorney Doug Gross was on this program. For those who don't know, he's a Des Moines attorney, a farmer, a longtime conservative voice in Iowa, former advisor to Governor Branstad. And in 2002, notably, he was the GOP gubernatorial nominee. He talked about what he called the lie that President Trump fed his base, the big lie, as it's been termed, that the election was stolen, when in fact, of course, Joe Biden won convincingly by 7 million votes in the popular vote, a comfortable margin in the Electoral College as well. Let's listen to what he said. He says Donald Trump told a lie designed to be to feed his own ego, not the policies to help the working people. And he mentioned you. He said every time Doug Gross, was on River to River, he read things about how you excoriated him personally. Here's what he said.
You know, Jeff Kaufman's a bright guy. History professor, knows our country, knows our state, knows history. and yet is so attuned to trying to maintain and pander to a base that he thinks is necessary for electoral victory that he engages in ad hominem attacks. It's just amazing to me when what I'm trying to do as a Republican is I'm trying to send a signal to folks, Danielle's and other people out there, that we're a party that is not captured by extremists. We're not a party that's captured or that abides by untruths, particularly as it relates to the future of our democracy and the transition of power, that we're a party that still focuses on traditional values. And the most fundamental of all traditional values is to tell the truth and be honest. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to broaden the party and help the party long term. But at the same time, a lot of those folks, the Trump type people in our party right now, you say anything that's even close to being negative to Donald Trump will excoriate you and personalize those attacks. That has to stop.
Gross went on to say that if it didn't stop, he sees more people leaving the Republican Party and mentioned the moves already to create a third party. What's your response, Jeff Kaufman, to the points that Doug Gross makes?
Well, you need to know a little bit of a back story here. Doug Gross has not been in any decision-making role or even in a position to advise anyone, including our former Governor Branstad, now Ambassador Branstad, or Governor Reynolds, or our senators, for almost a decade. After Doug's failed gubernatorial run and Doug's attitude, it's a little ironic that he's talking about how to grow a party. That certainly his attitude in the past and his behaviors have not done that. Look, he's a high-paid lobbyist. He's a little angry that he's out of the decision-making. I don't believe he's angry because of not growing the party. I believe he's angry because that might cut down on how much he can charge his clients for lobbying. So I don't take a whole lot of stock with Doug. He has been doing that a long time. And the next time Doug's on, I would ask you to ask him if he's ever asked the Trump administration for anything in terms of favors or anything like that, and see what he has to say about that.
Well, in fact, when he was on, he suggested that you both come on this program to talk through the future of the GOP. Would you accept that invitation?
Absolutely not, because what Doug is looking for is he's looking for relevance. And he has none in this state. And to come on, I just basically give someone relevance. And to be honest with you, there are a lot of Republicans that have problems with Donald Trump that you could pick to get on your show. This seems a little bit like picking a Republican that you know has some issues because they're out of power, and then acting as if somehow they are even remotely a voice for the party. I'll debate something with anyone that has legitimate viewpoints. Doug Gross is looking for relevance. He's probably looking for more lobbying clients.
Okay.
No, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to that. Nor do most everyone in this state that are GOP and actually have the ability to make decisions.
Well, to have you address the point that he made about the party, what he sees as the well-being of the party, he said you're not going to have a base long-term unless you tell the truth. Donald Trump still says the election was stolen. Do you, Jeff Kaufman?
Well, this you're asking me about two or three different questions. I feel like I'm on the...
I'm asking you if you believe, like Donald Trump, that the election was stolen.
I am going to answer both points that you brought up. The first question you asked me is whether what I thought about his ideas that the party is somehow shrinking, somehow is in problems. We are coming off the best election cycle we have ever had. Things are as strong as they have ever been. I mean, you got to match the facts that you see, the registration that you see, the victories that we've had that you see, and you have to match that with someone that is searching for relevance that's saying the other. In terms of the election, the past election, when the Electoral College was certified, Joe Biden became the president of the United States. I don't know how I've said this so many times, and I think somebody's hoping that I'll say something different so people can pile on, but I'm just not going to. Joe Biden is the president of the United States. Do I think states need to look at election integrity? And do I think that any state has a perfect system? Absolutely no, I do not. That's why I'm in favor of the election integrity bill right now.
And Joe Biden was elected in a free and fair election. It was not stolen.
He was elected. The minute it was certified, he was elected. There were problems in these states. The Supreme Court and other entities in this country have determined that the mistakes and the lack of integrity in some of these states did not rise to the level of costing him the election. But the reason I'm being particular about saying this mm-hmm. is because the minute I say yes, period, then all of a sudden I have people like your first caller saying we should not be looking at our election laws and trying not to be looking at improving things. And so you have to, if I'm going to say that Joe Biden is president and the Electoral College was certified, there has to be an acknowledgement. And I think it's fair. And I'm assuming when you have the Democratic chair on, you'll push him like you're pushing me. And that is, and any of the more left-leaning political scientists that you have on, and you're going to push them about, don't we need to improve some things in some of these other states like voter ID? And so, yes, there is improvement on both sides, but I have never said that Joe Biden was not the president of the United States. People want to attest that I've said that. So whether they're Democrats trying to gain a partisan advantage or whether it's a Doug Gross trying to become relevant again after a decade of not being relevant, that I'm just not going to dangle that carrot so you can do that.
Okay. Very quickly, we only have 30 seconds left. What do you make of the talk of a third party of Republicans, a center-right breakaway party? Will that happen in your view?
No, that's not going to happen. In the same way talk in the past that Democrats were going to have a new party. No, third parties are, look, you want the Republicans and Democrats to hold hands and sing We Are the World? Try introducing a third party and making that third party immediately relevant. It's very difficult to do in this state. In Iowa, I don't know how many times I can repeat this. In Iowa, we are coming off the best election cycle we have had in a long time. The proof is in the pudding. We're going to continue to improve. We're going to continue to reach out. And I'll be honest, I don't see any signs whatsoever that with the antics Democrats are doing with Marionette Miller Meeks, with the antics that Democrats are doing with the Green New Deal, I don't see any chance whatsoever for Democrats to break into rural Iowa. And I don't see any chance for a person like Doug Gross to put himself back into a decision-making role so he can grow his client list.
Time is unforgiving. Jeff Kaufman, thank you. Chair of the Iowa GOP, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.